Good morning. I'd like to welcome you all to Hope Community Reformed Presbyterian Church and for this special pre-worship service presentation by Rory and Bethany Service and the work that they're doing in Japan. Now, when I was a kid over in the Geneva RP congregation, I can still remember a couple of foreign missionaries that would show up from Japan, Gene and Ruth Spear. And they would come back and tell of their exploits and activities and the life that they were living over in on the Japanese mission field in Kobe. And I believe they started in 1955 and had a 50-year stretch until I believe it was 2005. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But it was always fun to get to see them and to see their kids, because they had kids that were about my age, too, and we'd play together. And just interesting, the dynamics there, too, to have, you know, foreign missionary kids at church and to hear the foreign missionaries talk. Well, today's presentation is by a couple of foreign missionaries. Now, they're more doing a tent maker kind of mission over there. They're not technically, again, correct me if I'm wrong, sanctioned by the Board of Foreign Missions of the church. They're doing this sort of on their own. I think it's extremely fun to get to hear of these kinds of sort of outlying satellite mission works. And so hopefully you'll enjoy their presentation. If you wish to donate to their efforts, I know they're going to explain some of that too. You can either contact them directly or talk to one of the deacons, myself included, at some point about that as well. Without further ado, I'll turn it over to Rory and Bethany Service. Thank you.
So my name is Rory Serbis. It's my wife, Bethany. And we have three children. There's Eugene, Edna, and Wendell is going to be helping us with the projector, the slides. So Bethany, probably many of you know Bethany already, and maybe me also. Bethany is the daughter of John and Jackie Stahl. She grew up in the College Hill Reformed Presbyterian Church before it daughtered this church. And we have been living in the Kobe area of Japan for about 1 year now. We have, off and on, we've lived in Japan and had opportunities to get to know the folks in the Reformed Presbyterian Church in the Kobe area for the past 15 years or so. And it's been our prayer to be over there, and God finally gave us an opportunity about a year ago. So I work full-time at a research lab. That's my job. And we're there to encourage and try to support and have fellowship with the believers over there and just be part of God's work there. And today, well, thank you very much for coming so early. We just wanted to share with all of you what God is doing there, to show you some people's faces. I hope you can kind of see what the church is like over there and ask you to pray for certain things. Yeah, go ahead, Wendell. And just wanted to give a couple of facts to give you some context about Japan, many of the things you may already know. So if we travel west from California across the Pacific Ocean, Japan is there next to Korea and China. And in fact, in terms of land area, it's about the same size and shape as California. But the population is almost, well, it is over a third of the United States population. So it's really crammed into a much smaller space than we have here in the United States. And the majority of people live in urban areas and cities, so it's pretty dense urban population. Even though maybe from our perspective, people live in smaller spaces and that wouldn't be comfortable, by many standards, the Japanese have a very good quality, material quality of life. It's safe, it's clean, good healthcare and transportation, things like this. And so maybe they don't feel a material need, even if they do have a spiritual one. And just to give you some idea of what a typical Japanese person believes, it's a bit difficult to pin down because they think about it in maybe a different way than us. If you ask a Japanese, you know, what is your religion, what do you believe, they may say Buddhism, they may say Shintoism, which is the native animist religion, you know, God in everything. Or they may say, I'm not particularly religious, I don't believe in anything. But most Japanese people would participate in both Buddhist rituals and Shintoist rituals. So you would have a Buddhist funeral when you die, and the years and years after a loved one has passed away, there's different funeral rites that you would have to participate in. And you might have a Shintoist wedding. You might go to have your child blessed by the Shinto priest after a year or so. You would participate in festivals that are every year that are Shintoist in origin. And so for a Japanese person who may even say, I'm not particularly religious, they would think of these different practices, these different rituals, as being just part of the rhythm of life of what it means to be Japanese. So the Buddhism and Shintoist rituals are part of what it means to be Japanese to them. And so as you can imagine, it's difficult for the Japanese Christians to gracefully separate themselves from these things and be good neighbors and good family members. So you can pray for them on that front. In terms of just statistics and numbers, you can see that the number of evangelical Christians in Japan is very few, less than 1%. And I'm not sure if this is a fair comparison or not, but I found that the percentage of the number of Jehovah's Witnesses in the United States is similar in terms of the percentages. So maybe you would have met a Jehovah's Witness, maybe not. And so Japanese also, maybe they've met a Christian, maybe they haven't, or maybe they never realized it if they did. And I don't, Eugene, did you want to share just a something simple about what life is like in Japan from your perspective?
There's too much homework.
This may be a universal problem. Okay, so now we wanted to kind of zoom into the Kobe area and specifically the RP churches to talk about what God's doing there.
So the Reformed Presbyterian churches in Kobe, Japan started about over 70 years ago. There were missionaries who had been serving in China, and after World War II, when they had to leave because of the political climate there, some of them, instead of returning home, decided to stay in Japan. Not stay, but relocate to Japan. And from there, they were able to continue their work with the Reformation Translation Fellowship, and then eventually they also were able to plant and establish churches there. So we have four congregations. We used to have five, but our Kitasuzurande mission station about a year ago closed, and that's been a hard providence, but we can see that the relocation of those resources and energy to other things has really been a good thing, and it allows us to feel a little bit less thinly stretched. Another thing to note is, so we are a presbytery, like our own independent presbytery, but we're also kind of still under the guidance of the Foreign Mission Board, and we still receive some support from them. And so you can pray for us as we walk that balancing act, and in the future, we look towards maybe being able to establish ourselves as our own kind of independent thing. So those are the things that we've been thinking about. And as I'm talking, I'm going to work from west to east, giving you one specific prayer request from each congregation to hopefully let you get to know us a little bit better. And there in the center, you can see we have the Covenanter Bookstore and the Kobe Theological Hall. And those are really placed right in the center of the city. So that's a really great location for us. But Wendell, do you mind doing the next slide? Thanks. So our first congregation with the little yellow dot there is Kasumi Gaoka. And this congregation has its own church and its own manse, and we're really thankful for that. And they also have a young, energetic pastor, Pastor Hirata, and he and his wife and two children are really wonderful, and we love them dearly. They have been living in Northern Ireland for the past several years as he's been working on his PhD, and he's due to return to us this fall or winter, and we're all really excited about that. So the prayer request for Kasumi Gaoka is that they would be able to kind of reintegrate together, learn to work together again. The congregation has been treading water pretty independently for a long time without him, and so there's always some growing pains as they readjust, so you can really be praying for them and Pastor Hidata's family, his wife and children, as they rejoin together for ministry and service to the Lord. The next congregation, moving from west to east, is the Higashisuma congregation. And if you remember that black and white photo from earlier, Higashisuma congregation is a continuation of that black and white photo. They're kind of the oldest and most well-established congregation. Pastor Sakai serves here,
And the prayer request for them is they do not have any elders right now serving alongside him. It's a kind of a heavy burden for him to carry alone. They have men in the congregation who have served as elders in the past, but they have all retired. So you can pray that the Lord would be raising up men to serve alongside Pastor Sakai in leadership and guidance of this congregation. Go ahead. So in our dots moving along, we're going to skip over Kobe Theological Hall and continue on to Okamoto Keiaku Church. And if you look at the picture here, you can see that there are children in this congregation. And that's really a fun and a good thing. So Pastor S. Takiura and Pastor K. Takiura are a father-son duo who work together. They really complement each other in how they serve and lead the church. And the prayer request from this congregation is they really have excellent and faithful, long-standing children's evangelistic outreach ministries. It's something that they do year-round, and they ask that the Lord would be pleased to allow these ministries to bear fruit. Then the fourth congregation, the most easterly congregation, this is where we worship. This is also where the Spears most recently were. This is Mukunoso Church, and I'm going to give you guys two prayer requests for our church, sorry. So we have two things that we'd ask you to join us in praying for. Right now, we have about 23 people who come to worship, 23 members who come on a Sunday, and then we have visitors, we're up to 30, which is really fun and exciting. But you can see from the photo, we're all kind of jammed in, like wall to wall. We are in a tiny little house church, and that's not changing. We're still meeting in that tiny little house church, but we're in the middle of, we've taken all the walls out and are removing this staircase in an effort and a hope to give us a few more square feet of worship space to cram in a few more extra chairs. And so right now we can fit about 30, but we're hopeful that with the renovations, maybe we'll be able to fit up to 50 people in our worship space. So that would be really exciting because we desire to grow. We have new families who have joined us, and we really desire to do that. But unless we have a little bit more space, we really physically can't fit very many more people in our space. So that's the one prayer request. Then our second one is in the center there, you'll see is Pastor Kanamori and his wife Junko-san, and they will be retiring in about a year probably. They'll be moving to the U.S. So our congregation will be going through a period of transition ourselves as we look for a pastor. A praise is we do have two wonderful elders who will help lead us through that transition. We won't be on our own. So just pray for us as we gracefully navigate our renovations, and then also as we navigate the process of searching and calling for a new pastor. So then in our little map, we're going to jump back to the center. And in the center of Kobe, there we have a little building right on a main street, and it's on the first floor is a small book room or bookstore. On the second floor it's called Kobe Theological Hall, and then on the third floor is an apartment building. So on the first floor, this is a kind of a store that people can walk in and out of, stop and have a cup of coffee. They also do a lot of work to help with steering and navigating translation work for Reformed literature into Japanese. They also recently really helped to publish a new edition of the Psalter just last year. And so now we have all 150 portions of all 150 Psalms in Japanese. So we're all very, very excited about that. The thing that they ask that we pray for is they also need a second generation of leadership to creatively take up this task of operating a bookstore in 2020 and beyond. It's a tough task for them. They have a small team of workers and volunteers, but they're really, as they look to the future to consider how things will go, they really need a new generation to kind of take up the banner.
Okay. And so just moving up to the second floor, we have Kobe Theological Hall. And this is a place where the six pastors in our presbytery are the faculty. And they're doing lots of different courses on different parts of the Bible, Old and New Testament, Hebrew, Greek, church history, things like this. And their mission is to equip people to study their Bible and be able to train other people and share God's word with them and to be workers in the church. They're not accredited to be able to give a degree for people who are seeking to serve in the pastorate. And so people who are going in that direction may study here for a time, and then if they're Reformed Presbyterian, they may come to RPTS, or they may go to another seminary in Japan. And so right now, there are 22 students of varying degrees of commitment, and a majority of these are actually from other denominations in the area. And so they're really thankful that that we have this ministry to not only our own presbytery, but to other churches as well. And the prayer request of the KTH would be that God would provide more students so that they can equip them and share with them God's word. Okay? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. So just kind of zooming out and thinking about Japanese Christians in general and some of the difficulties that they might face, we just wanted to share with you one particular aspect of Japanese life that can be difficult for Christians, but also end that with praise and how we see God working in this area. And that is families and children. And so first, thinking about children in Japan, children of Christian families, covenant families, because of the small number of Christians in Japan, it's very likely that if you are a child being raised in a Christian home, you may not know someone else your age who is also a Christian or going to church. And so it can be very, it can be isolating. You can feel isolated, and that can be discouraging. So just pray for God's protection and faithfulness to them. And from the parents' perspective, there is a there's an unfortunate temptation in Japan to prioritize the earthly family over the heavenly one, and so that their parents struggle with pushing their children and training them in God's word, because they might fear that if they reject the faith, that would put a barrier between the parent and the child. And so to avoid that, they would prefer to put responsibility of training their children on the church, the pastors, the Sunday school teachers. This is not universal, but there's this tendency and this temptation. So just pray for courage for them and wisdom, and that God would be using parents to train their children in the love and knowledge of the Lord, and teaching them the gospel, and for God's protection. And we have seen, so Bethany and I have been involved in the churches there for 15 or so years, and we do know children who are smaller than our own children are now, who God has protected, and they are still walking with the Lord now, and they are beginning to invest in other young children themselves. So we're really thankful for how we see God's work in that area. And moving on.
So we've listed several different prayer requests, and we do ask that you would join us in praying for those things. If you don't get the RP Global Missions weekly prayer updates, that's a great way to kind of keep an ear onto what's going around or along the globe. Also in Japan, we regularly contribute prayer requests to there. But the idea that I would like to leave you with is from Matthew 16. And here, Jesus is asking his disciples who people say he is. And I'll just read it for you. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Here we have Jesus saying that he is the one who builds his church. And this is a truth that we really cling to, and we ask that you would earnestly join us in prayer that the Lord would be pleased to build his church in Japan. We have pastors, we have church buildings, we have church members. But in total, across the whole presbytery, we're about 120 people. We're pretty tiny. So we ask that you would join us really in earnestly praying that the Lord would pour out his spirit and that the people of Japan would turn their hearts and come to know the Lord. And so now we tried to save a little bit of time for questions. Does anybody have any questions about life in Japan, the church in Japan?
So they know about it, and if it's coming from us, they would expect us to be Christians. That's kind of a assumption they have. They will be polite and maybe show some curiosity, but it would take what we've observed in our experience is that it can take a long time after you've shared the gospel with someone and talked to them for a long time about issues and things like that, for them to make a commitment. It's still, I think, typically viewed as this foreign religion, and it's not part of the Japanese way or rhythm of life.
Yeah. I think it's maybe like polite curiosity, but pretty much indifference. Like, just this doesn't have anything to do with me because I'm Japanese. This is they would think of it as almost like a Western religion that doesn't involve or include them. Kids, you can ask questions too.
What's been your most challenging thing to assimilate in terms of assimilating for yourself and the culture?
Oh. You want to take a stab at this, Wendell?
What's
difficult for you
about living in Japan?
Eugene? What's difficult about living in Japan? For Wendell, he says it's a long time to get friends. We do live in a wonderful neighborhood, and so we are making friends slowly, but maybe the language barrier is a little bit difficult for our kids as they really try to make some good friends. I think just in general, the way things are done are a little bit different, and so I always feel like a very small child when I'm functioning and navigating society. I'm never quite sure what's going on or quite sure what if I'm doing is correctly. Just so on a personal level, I think that's been one of the more challenging things.
Yeah. So I think especially for our children, they go to a local school, a local Japanese school. It's been initially it was a hard transition to not understanding anything that's going on around them to now. I think they can navigate pretty well, but that's there's still lots of little things that we miss that can be important to the flow of a conversation, and that can be challenging to really follow along with a joke and deepen relationships in the church.
People are gracious
people
and patient
and kind, yeah. But we're able to have, because we share our unity in Christ, and we're talking about the same scriptures and everything. Communication actually, I think, is a lot easier there than it is outside the church.
Yeah. Do we have space issues? We are tucked in together tight. Do you mean in our church or in our home?
I mean, like, in
conversation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, on the picture, we meet in a little house. It's pretty narrow, and so there we go. So it's a converted living room. It was a living room that has an addition extended onto it to make it a little bit bigger. And now I think what we're going to do is we're going to turn. So we were facing this way. Now we're going to turn the building this way and try to make it the worship space a little bit wider. We're also going to move a staircase, shrink the kitchen, remove a shower, move a toilet.
Yeah.
We're switching it all around to try to give us the maximum space that we can get out of our little tiny house. Sorry, go ahead, Teresa.
Yeah, I was wondering if you could explain like the school system, like not just each day, like what a normal like start and end time would be, but also through the year. Does it differ? I imagine it differs from the US system. Mm-hmm.
I mean, in terms of just the schedule, like it begins in April, so that's the beginning of the school year and the fiscal year. They go to school around 8 o'clock and typically come home between 3 and 4.
For elementary school.
Elementary school. Once you get to middle school, it's later, and then there's clubs that might keep you there until dark, even on weekends, even on the Lord's Day. There's a lot of emphasis, on like memorization, and part of this just has to do with the language. There's a lot of writing the characters that they have to memorize in order to be able to read, and so that's different.
So there's a month, so there's about a 4 to 5 week break in like July to August, mm-hmm. and then in about a 2 week break at New Year's, and then a 3 week break in March. And then, so that's kind of, yeah, those are our big breaks.
And lots of little holidays sprinkled, mm-hmm. sprinkled around.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, Jack. The hardest kind of food to make or eat? Oh. Yeah.
Sushi.
Yeah. I think they do a lot more emphasis on things like mushrooms and seaweed. So in our grocery store, we have a whole aisle of mushrooms and dried mushrooms and a whole aisle of seaweed. And it's not just seaweed. Every seaweed, like every different type of seaweed has a name. And so for me, as I've been trying to learn how to use those things or not, that's been a tricky thing to navigate.
Yes. Probably you're aware that Japan has a really strong and, I guess, rich culture of cartoons and comic books and things like this. And so, yeah, people really, really love these things and spend a lot of time reading them, even on the train when they're going to work or going to school, things like this. Mm-hmm. And when I talk to my colleagues at work, often the conversation during lunchtime is about these sorts of things. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
In our denomination, I believe there's one man who is who would like to pursue that route, but I think it's just maybe one. Mm-hmm. Outside, so those who are students but are outside the denomination, I think I've heard of one or two, but I don't know them personally, so I can't really speak to that. Yeah.
If there are no other questions, if you guys are willing, let's. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, so our church has recently made a decision to do these renovations, and we looked at different options, and we're working actually with, so the people who are doing the actual work, well, two out of the three people are members of our denomination. Ben Hovey actually grew up in the same church as me. He's one of the workers, and Dempe Takiura is the son of one of the pastors, a brother of a pastor. And so the option to both enlarge our worship space, which we feel is really necessary, but also make it so that the second floor is available for living in case that's what our next pastor would like. And that would be really helpful. It could be really helpful, and just financially, because we're a small congregation, it might be difficult for us to provide a salary for them. So if they can live in the church, that would help reduce costs for them and us. That option, however, means running water and doing other sorts of things that make it more expensive. Right now, we don't have the budget to do all of that, And so we are talking with a Japan Presbytery about taking out a loan from them, borrowing money from them to make up the difference. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the congregation has saved a chunk of money. So the space was an impetus for it, but then also our roof was deteriorating.
Right.
And that was kind of the, now we must do this now. And since we have to do the roof now, let's think about what else we can do. Mm-hmm. So.
The numbers.
We can say our loan.
Yeah, the loan will be between $15,000 and $20,000 from the presbytery. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, we're not super informed about all the nitty gritty details about that, but yeah.
We can share more with you if you like.
So in the interest of time, if you guys are willing, just real quick, Gundel, can you switch to the next slide? We're going to ask you guys to join us in singing in Japanese. So it's fun. The vowel sounds follow the Spanish vowel sounds, if that makes any sense.
So, a, I, u, a, o.
Yeah, they don't change. So if you look up there, that first line is yo, ro, zu, no, kuni, bito. That makes sense? Okay, so go ahead and open up your Psalters to Psalm 100A.